It's time for From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine with Kreshap, a golf podcast for those who love golf, struggle with golf, and just like to enjoy the outdoors and fellowship with friends, all while chasing a ball around, trying to put it in a 4 1/4 inch diameter hole. From the Shortgrass is presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine and brought to you by Stevens Incorporated, an independent financial services firm with the freedom to focus on what matters most. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels. We partner with you to deliver high-yield results by managing, developing, and investing in top-quality hospitality assets. And now, from the Shortgrass, here's your host, Kreshap.
Welcome to another edition of From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. I'm your host, Kreshap. Coming up on this edition of From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, I will be joined by Ronan Flood, a longtime caddy for Padraig Harrington. In fact, Ronan became Padraig's full-time caddy in 2004, and you'll hear a little bit about how he started caddying for Padraig before becoming his official full-time caddy. That's all coming up in this episode. At UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, they are dedicated to keeping you in the game. From sports injuries to joint replacement, they provide world-class care right here in Arkansas. Call 501-686-TOSH to schedule your appointment today and get back to living pain-free. I'm back after this with more From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine.
The future is not about a bond reaching maturity. The future is what my grandfather worked for. It's what my father carried on. It's my responsibility today. The future is my son's tomorrow. At the Stevens Private Client Group, we believe that our strength builds success, not only for us, but for our clients. Stevens, member NYSE, SIPC.
Heading to El Dorado to check out some live music or to play Mystic Creek? Stay at the Haywood, the only boutique hotel in the middle of downtown and the Murphy Arts District. If you are spending a weekend in Hot Springs, make plans now at the Marriott Courtyard close to Lake Hamilton and Oaklawn. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group manages both of these fine properties, and you will rest easy knowing that your every need is taken care of. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels on the web at bphotels.com.
It's Justin Acri. If you're dealing with back or neck pain, the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health is here to help. Whether it's neurosurgery, orthopedic surgery, sports medicine, or pain management, their experts have you covered with the latest technology and minimally invasive techniques. They're focused on reducing your pain, improving mobility, and getting you back to doing what you love. Call 501-686-TOSH to set up an appointment today. That's 501-686-8674. The doctor will see you now.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Ronan Flood and Padraig Harrington have been partnered since 2004. Padraig, of course, the professional golfer. Ronan, his caddy. They knew each other much before 2004, though. In fact, they grew up together playing around the same golf club in Ireland. Ronan joined me via Zoom from Dublin for this interview, and I hope you enjoy it. On the tee, Ronan Flood. Ronan Flood, thanks for joining me on this edition of From the Shortgrass, all the way from Dublin, Ireland, where you were born, grew up over there. When did you first pick up a golf club and fall in love with this game?
I started playing golf when I was 10, 11, just turned 10, 11. But at that stage, you had to be 12 to join the golf club. So I've one brother who's older than me. So he was playing already. He's 4 years older. And my parents played. So I was last to play. So I probably had swung a club in the garden, to be fair, before that. But the first time I kind of got to the golf club, I went up one a couple of evenings when I was probably 11 or so.
Were you self-taught or did you?
No, we got lessons when we were up there and played up there, and there was a good bunch of guys. I played with my brother and with Padraig. They were in school together. So, there was a good bunch of guys between them, their age and mine, that we all kind of grew up together playing golf. It was quite a competitive club. where we were. Like there was kids like juvenile competitions every week. You'd go up, you'd be having putting contests for a plate of chips, chipping contests, all that. So we were always playing for something.
So is that when you really fell in love with the game, the fact that, the excitement of playing for something?
Oh yeah, definitely. For me, it was. I was. I mean, I played a small bit of like football hurling here, but I wasn't great at them. I played them, but I wasn't good at them. Not that I wasn't like I was okay. But golf, I kind of took to golf quickly, and I was better than most at mo like at that stage when I started. So I never got to the kind of standard of like every kid you would love to have been a pro, but I wasn't that good. I never got to that standard, but I could play and was competitive, and I ended up playing. And here in Ireland we have our clubs, they play a lot of inter-club matches, so it is competitive. So it would have represented the club at different levels and stuff as a junior, and then it's and as I got older. So I enjoyed it for just pretty much from straight away, I think, because I kind of took I was decent enough straight away at it.
What about competitive in high school, college? Did you play collegiate
No, I
golf?
played, but we wouldn't have the same competitive. Like it's certainly when I was growing up, you wouldn't have. Nowadays the colleges are a bit more competitive. I did play in college golf, but it was much more. It wasn't anywhere near as competitive. I went to University College Dublin, so UCD they call it. So our big match of the year was against Trinity College, the colours match. That's what our whole year was around, was to make sure you won that. But we didn't have we had an, like an intervarsities, but again, it wasn't that competitive. Now it has changed where it has become. There's a number of the colleges now giving scholarships and things like that, so it has gotten better. But most of like our competitive golf was more during our summertime playing various tournaments around the country. So you would have Ireland has four provinces, and you'd have so you'd have played the Connacht Boys, which would be the West that's under 18, Leinster, Ulster, and Munster. And so as a kid, my dad would have brought me around playing those, and playing tournaments in different clubs. So my summer was spent playing golf. My mates would have played football more so, and things of like that. Whereas I tended to play, I was more into golf.
You spoke earlier about your brother and Padraig knowing each other and you kind of playing with them around the putting green contests and stuff like that. When did you and Padraig first really get together, and did you see anything in him that you thought, okay, this guy has what it might take to make it on the worldwide
Well,
level?
our golf club, Padraig, was always the best player in the club. So he was play at six. He was the best player in the country when he was at under 18, when he was probably 16 or 17. And so from then on, he was always. So when he was about probably 16, 17, he was, if he wasn't the best player in his age group, he was the second best player in his age group. So for all of us watching, he was always the guy. Like in the golf club, he was the fella everyone wanted to be like. And then as he got older and winning more and stuff, yeah, we would have assumed he'd go pro. He probably he would say he it wasn't as I suppose a foregone conclusion for him in his head. And as he said, it was only when he saw guys that he was beating and had beaten over the years go out and do okay that it kind of said to him, I'll give it a go. But I suppose if you ask him like us, because no, but like back then as well, there wasn't as many pro, like it didn't feel you didn't come across people as good as he was, we'll say, or capable of playing pro golf that often in Ireland. Not like whereas now we have like everywhere, like the standard has gone up so much that there are a lot of people trying it.
Why do you think that is?
I think just YouTube has helped a lot. The coaching has improved. I suppose as more money's gone into it, more people are playing it now as well. Like more, not that might the numbers might be different, but I'd say there's more good athletes playing it that are probably they've probably taken good athletes from other sports away. And just like every sport, I think every sport over time the standard just improves.
When did you and Padraig finally get together and you start caddying for him? Did you reach out to him or did he reach out to
No,
you?
what happened was so he had a guy when he started on tour in 96, he had a guy, Johnny O'Reilly, who was an Irish caddy, who was kind of coming to the end of his time caddying. And he went out with Padraig when he got his tour card in Europe first. And he and as part of say, like he learned a lot from him. He kind of showed him the ropes of where to go, what to do, all that. And they were together for about 3 years. So at the end of 1998, he was kind of finishing up with Johnny. Johnny was kind of like coming to it. Like he had kind of half retired before Padraig brought him back out. So he was kind of finishing up. And Padraig asked me would I do a couple of weeks, like a week for him or 2 weeks, so that people on tour would know he was looking for a caddy. So that was 98. I ended up doing 4 weeks when I was in college. And then in 2004, he got a guy in between. So Dave McNeely caddied for him from the start of 99 until 2004. And the same thing again, he was finishing, like himself and Dave were kind of parting ways. And he asked me would I do a couple of weeks for him again, so that people would know that he was looking for a caddy. He didn't want to start approaching anybody who was working for someone else. I was working for an Irish bank here. I took time off and said, look, I was going to go caddying for Padraig for a bit. They gave me a career break. And I never thought it was going to anything more than a few weeks. And then here we are 20 years later, I'm still here. He's still stuck with me. It ended up being the whole of the, I started at the memorial in 04, which was kind of the end of May, start of June. We just went through the rest of the year then. And then at the end of the year, we just kind of were chatting about it. And he was like, well, he was happy with the way it was going. If I was happy to stay, he'd be happy. So you couldn't not be happy to stay and play. You know, we played the Ryder Cup that year in 04, opened up the Ryder Cup against Phil and Tiger, playing with Monty, and he'd won the week before. You know, he was a top 10 player in the world at the time. So it wasn't a tough choice.
I was gonna say, I mean,
Yeah.
you being the caddy carrying the bag of a top 10 player in the world, that's a pretty easy decision to make, I would think.
Yes, it wasn't a tough choice. As much as I liked what I was doing in AIB, it wasn't. It still was. It wasn't a tough choice to stick with it.
I learned something about you two when you guys were here for the Simmons Bank Championship presented by Stevens, is the fact that you two are brother-in-laws because you're married to sisters.
Yes, that's right, Jess.
So what
Yeah.
is that relationship like?
Yeah, I mean, but look, we've known each other longer than we've known our wives because of his connection with my brother and that. So it's just we both met our wives in the golf club. Their father played golf, and then they used to be up in the golf club. So that's where we met our wives. And look, we all get on very well, so it's great.
I want to talk about the Simmons Bank Championship that was played at Pleasant Valley Country Club. You guys won it, the second leg of the Charles Schwab Cup playoffs. What was your time in Arkansas like?
I have to say, I had never been to Arkansas. I would say the only thing I probably knew about Arkansas was that it was the home of Bill Clinton, I believe. I'm not sure if it was is he originally like is he
Born.
from there or he was descended. He was born there, so that was the. So I didn't know what to expect, and we had a great time. I have to say, we stayed downtown, and you know, it was a short trip out to the golf course, but we were out every night. We went to a number of different restaurants in the town and in Little Rock, and we had a great time. I have to say I think it far exceeded everybody's expectations. So in that, you know, you go somewhere new, you're just never quite sure what it's going to be like. You know, like what the course will be like, the whole setup, and I think like everybody would have come away saying that we couldn't have been looked after better. But you know, the area that we stayed in was great. You know, I have said that the course when we got there was in unbelievable condition, which was another, like you know, you're never sure when a tournament is going somewhere for the first time that exactly what the course will be like. You're not sure how it's going to play. They had a great condition, and I think they have a great tournament course. The last, particularly the last few holes. You know, they're set up for a good closing tournament. We played in the Pro-Am. I think it was this Thursday, but we played a Wednesday and a Thursday Pro-Am. The Thursday Pro-Am, and one of the guys was telling us, he said, there's a tournament that they host there in the golf club, which they only play, I think, the 16, 17, 18, if I'm right.
Yeah, they do
Since
like a
you
shootout around that.
shootout, yeah. So you're
Yeah,
saying,
the
like,
lake.
and so everybody can see it, and it's going around the lake. And I have to say, like, it sounds like that sounds fantastic. You know, what, like, that is. Yeah, I just can't. I would imagine it is just brilliant.
Well, here's the thing. Padraig is a member of the club now, honorary member, so you and him can come back and you guys could play in that.
I'd have to get him to invite me for the shootout. So yes, yes, because I have to say it was super. Because we were looking at it, obviously with the grandstands up and stuff like that, like it would be a little bit blocked out. But we were saying with the clubhouse there, sitting up in the height a little bit, like if you were sitting there, you can see the three holes, you can see everything that's going on. So It must be a great atmosphere for that.
It is. Hopefully you can get back and play in more. And I think there might be something next year with the stop at Pleasant Valley. There might be some kind of caddy competition.
Yeah, they were talking about that, and they were saying that because they've got another nine holes there.
Yeah.
So they might wonder maybe on the Tuesday night or one of the nights there that they do like a caddy tournament, which would be good fun.
Would you be in favor of that?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. No, we were chatting about it. It'd be great. And I say, especially when you're – it's nice when you've got the small field. You know, because you'll get nearly everybody there. And like we had a barbecue on the Friday night. Ricardo Gonzalez did a barbecue for us. So like, you know, the night, you might find that next year if they do the caddy tournament, like the caddies will do some sort of barbecue afterwards. So everyone hang around and, you know, it's a good idea. There's a few places tend to do something like that. It always gets a good buzz.
Talk me through your final three holes there of the tournament on that Sunday, knowing where you were and what you needed to do to try and win.
The toughest, the last three holes, we say, are there's a lot of trouble there. Obviously, you're going around the lake. 16 is a particularly tough hole. Of the three, that's the toughest because you've water down the left. It's a very small green. You can't hit, like, so Patrick hit 3 iron off the tee every day. Which turned out being a nice club because he could hit a strong 3 iron, but it was kind of, he could hit it. He was happy enough to hit it down that right side and not feel that he was going to pull it. You know, if he got a 5 wood out or a 3 wood, like it's narrowing in. It's that. I think he hit 7 iron for his second shot. We were standing there going, well, you've really got to hit this. It was, you know, if it wasn't such a small green and the thing around it, he probably would have hit some sort of little six. So like he hit a good tee shot and he hit a really nice second shot in there to about kind of like 20 feet or so. 17 was... Well, it's a tough hole. I think once you got 16 was the one you would kind of worry about more. That was the one that, like, from when we got there. When we got there, 16 was the one that was the worry. When he made par 16, you kind of we were feeling, and as well as that, we were like, I was watching when I was on the 16th green and Potter's putting. I was watching 17. Vegeta, he was making bogey on 17. So I was as Potter was putting. I could see him putting on 17 and he had missed it green left and I think knocked his bunker shot long and then missed the putt for par. So when we'd made par 16, knowing he was the guy on the course because Wai Yang, I think, had finished when we were on 16.
Yes.
So he finished on, I think we were two, at that stage, I'm going to say we were maybe two shots ahead of Wai or three. Fujita was the one who could do something. So when I saw him bogey 17, it certainly made... Not that I didn't tell Patrick, but it made my life a little easier in knowing that we have a little bit of leeway there. And then knowing that 18 was reachable for him was a big plus. We're two ahead playing the last. At the time we were on the tee, we didn't know what Fujita was doing. I knew that he hadn't knocked. I saw him hitting, going to hit it somewhere up around there towards the third. So I was pretty sure he hadn't hit it in close. But we did, obviously, we were thinking, well, look, it is possible he could still chip in for an eagle or make a birdie easy enough. So we had talked earlier in the week about if you were leading by, you know, a couple of shots, two or three shots, do you hit an iron down there at the right-hand bunker short, then lay it up and play it for a five? But when we got there, because he was still playing, we weren't exactly sure what he was going to finish on. We were happy to go and for Potter to hit driver because... The theory with hitting driver was if he hits a good tee shot, well, then it's just over. That's it. Like it, you know, irrespective really of what happens in front of us, it should be over because it's going to get down there to hitting a relatively, you know, a mid to long iron. That he should make a four should be relatively easy. If he pushed a tee shot right out over the bunker, well, then you're laying up to the same spot you're going to lay up to if you hit the iron off the tee. And if he pulls it left into the water, well, he drops out and should still be able to reach the green. Some people would have looked and said, well, what's he hitting driver for? But he could close out the tournament at one shot there, which he did. He hit a beautiful tee shot down there. Like it really was a nice, you know, it, as soon as it left the club face, you could see. Now, and like he put himself under a bit of, stress and pressure to hit that shot. So I think as well for him, he was happy to hit it. He want, you know, the, in some ways these guys like having that bit of pressure and showing themselves that, that like it's a, an element of proving it to themselves that look, I can do it when I have to.
I want to take you back to the Open Championships, because I think, you know, coming from the home of golf and playing for the Claret Jug, that just has to be the top of the top. And you guys in 07 and 08, I mean, Padraig's the champion golfer of the year. Yeah. But there was some thought that he might not be able to defend at Royal Birkdale.
Yeah, he'd injured his hand, his wrist hitting an impact bag one-handed at like, he'd tell you exactly, but it was something like 120 miles, 125 miles an hour. He was doing some speed training on the Saturday night the week before. So when we got there, he was struggling genuinely. And we tried to play a practice round on Monday. I think we got halfway down the first and couldn't. So we ended up, we walked around hitting. He could chip and putt okay, but he just couldn't hit a shot. You know, we didn't play Tuesday, we didn't play Wednesday. Again, it was just chipping and putting. And then Thursday morning, we were out early Thursday morning. Conditions were horrendous. And it was, I remember going to the first tee, and he was even at that stage thinking, like, he didn't genuinely know whether he might just hit that tee shot and have to go in. We got through the first couple of holes. I think it was on about the third hole, maybe. He'd hit it into the rough, and it was the first time, like, he really had to kind of go after it. He's hitting like a 5 or 6 iron out or something like that, and really had to hit it. And I don't even remember where the golf ball went. I'm not even sure if you've asked him if he'd remember, but I remember he'd hit it and turned around to him probably before it had landed and said, yeah, we're good to go. We're okay. Like it was he'd gone through it, and that was his one worry. He thought it was going to go there. It didn't. And then from there, he just kind of, like, it was a battle that Thursday, but, you know, played nice. He played well all week, but it certainly was. It was touch and go whether he was going to finish. He was always going to start because he wanted to give himself the chance. Look, he was the defending champion. You want to get announced there as a defending champion and hope that it will be okay. And it was, as it turned out.
What is a Ryder Cup atmosphere like for someone that has never experienced it, specifically inside the ropes like you have?
In soccer terms, you know, it's like a Liverpool derby or you know, a Glasgow derby of Rangers Celtic. Like it's not golf. It's the atmosphere is not a golf atmosphere. It's much more like what you get in a football match atmosphere, you know, a hockey match, that type of thing, but it's the rivals, it's the big rivals. It's not like, you know, I've been to some other to some matches and it's a good atmosphere. But I imagine that the, you know, an Alabama Auburn is, they're on your back from day one. If you're playing away from home, the home crowd let you know it. And I think that's what's great about the Ryder Cup. It isn't really golf for that 1 week. It's a team event, which is completely different. I mean, 12 players, 12 caddies, the captain, there's like probably 5 or 6 vice captains, and everybody's in there. Like, a major winning player who can be a vice captain is running around getting a bottle of water for a caddy that week. You know, and it doesn't matter what, so it's like everybody just buys into it. It's they're there for the team, and it's there's nothing like it in golf.
You think the Bethpage Black will be pretty raucous come September 25?
I think it'll be amazing. I've no doubt. I mean, you know, it would be an amazing one to be there at, caddying involved in. I think the New York crowd, they're going to be tough.
Yeah,
but I think Bethpage would be great. There's going to be people thrown out of the crowd, there's no doubt. But I think you expect that. It's New York. That's what it's about, isn't it? That's you go to New York. I mean, no one wants to go and play the Giants or the Jets in New York, even though they play in New Jersey.
You're right. Yeah. Good point. Favorite golf course you've ever played?
Favorite course? I have a few. It's hard to put the favorite down. I would say Parkland in Ireland, probably the most enjoyable experience of golf in terms of great golf course, great Adair Manor. It's been newly done, renovated there a number of years ago. Tom Fazio did it. Partly kind of, like, you know, helped out with him as well. But it's a fun place. It's the closest thing you'll get to Augusta over here. You know, it's in great condition all the time, and just a really great place to play. Fun, And then the Ryder Cup is there in 27. You'll get to see, like, it'll be a great venue for that. In terms of, when I was in college, I was a member in Portmarnock. So that, like, I would put Portmarnock, I loved it. It's a great golf course. And obviously, links course, you can play it all year round. Had great times there. I was a member there for probably 3, 4 years through college. They give memberships to the Dublin colleges. And then in the US, I went out and played Riviera. I had a friend who was a member out there. He's passed now, but went out a few years back, myself and a couple of others, to play it. And I'd caddied around it so often, and I have to say it's my favorite place. Again, like, brilliant golf course, but the whole area is so, like, everything about it lends itself to being great. So I'd say, like, that was one of my more enjoyable days. I think Riviera is a course you can turn up and play every day, and it'd be it's a good golf course.
Fantasy foursome, living or deceased, you and three others you would like to play a go round of golf with, who would they be?
I never saw Nicklaus play. I'd probably have to go with the older guys because I've seen Tiger up close so many times, and I know how good he is. So I would say probably Nicklaus. I'd probably throw Nicklaus in. I'd enjoy having Paddy there to see him, and for a bit of fun. Nicklaus, Shane, we'd have a good laugh. Shane, Paddy, myself, and Nicklaus. Nicklaus I'd
There
throw
you
in
go.
because, and I get to pick the golf course.
Yes, you get to pick the golf course.
Yeah, I would be interested to see Nicklaus. To say, I've seen him only, like, in the father and son, that PNC Championship now, and I'd love to know. I've heard the stories, and he sounds like he was as far ahead of the field as Tiger was that I saw. So I'd love to have seen him in his prime. Yes.
I can't thank you enough for this. This has been
Yeah,
awesome.
no problem. It's great.
Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group is the leader in the state in managing hotel properties. From El Dorado to Jonesboro to Fayetteville to Kansas City and back home in Little Rock, you will find a Beachwood Pinnacle managed hotel property. Are you looking for a weekend staycation? Book the Hilton Garden Inn located on Rock Street and enjoy the Agassi 7 rooftop bar with fantastic views of the Little Rock skyline. Open Sunday through Thursday evenings from 4 to 11 and Friday and Saturday from 5 to midnight. Find them on the web at bphotels.com. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group.
At Stevens, our philosophy is to invest every dollar as if it were our own. To seize opportunity. To anticipate rather than react. To deliver constant focus in an ever-changing world. And to pursue the objectives of our clients in order to help them reach their financial goals. A proven history of helping companies and individuals. Stevens, member NYSE SIPC.
It's Justin Akre. If you're dealing with back or neck pain, the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health is here to help. Whether it's neurosurgery, orthopedic surgery, sports medicine, or pain management, their experts have you covered with the latest technology and minimally invasive techniques. They're focused on reducing your pain, improving mobility, and getting you back to doing what you love. Call 501-686-TOSH to set up an appointment today. That's 501-686-8674. The doctor will see you now.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health, Orthopedics, and Sports Medicine. I am Trey Schapp. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group, one of our great sponsors of From the Shortgrass. Matthew Allen and Blair Allen, they know how to manage hotel properties. When you need an overnight place to stay, make sure you go to their website, bphotels.com, and find one of their great properties. You'll be glad you did. A quick note here. This past week, Dr. Mac Moore passed away, and I wanted to send my thoughts to his family, his friends, and everyone that knew him. He was a member of the Country Club of Little Rock, lived right off of the 10th tee, had many friends there and many friends at the Elotion Club as well. Dr. Moore helped start Arkansas Urology and was a pillar in the medical community here in Little Rock and the entire state of Arkansas. He's a member of the Arkansas State Golf Association Hall of Fame. Anyone that knew him would say he was the kindest gentleman they had ever met. To his wife Barbara and his two sons, my thoughts and prayers are with you. I had Dr. Mac Moore on an episode of From the Shortgrass last year. In fact, it was almost a year ago to the date that his episode came out. Episode number 143, released on February the 21st of 2024. Rest in peace, Dr. Moore. You will definitely be missed. Remember, when you find your ball mark on the green, fix it and a couple of more. And I hope to see you sometime soon from the Shortgrass.
You have been listening to From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health, Orthopedics, and Sports Medicine, a weekly podcast dedicated to the game of golf. This has been a presentation of the Buzz Radio Network in association with Majestic Cubby Productions.